Curtis Greco with the Imperfect Messenger Foundation joins us. Lots of things to talk about from Trump land and Trump world. We're going to start, Curtis, by talking about the decision by the president and executed by the military to basically destroy a speedboat full of cocaine and Venezuelan narco terrorists that was on its way to America. Some people have been up in arms about this. Give me your analysis of what's going on here.
Well, I think that there's a way to approach this is to look at it hemispherically. It's not just about drugs and the problem with Venezuela. Clearly, Maduro's been a thorn in Trump's side and will continue to be for some time. But there's also another issue here that needs to be looked at as to really what's behind the need to go after this in a military fashion. And I believe it relates to a problem that is much greater than Venezuela. And that is the Silk Road Initiative that is promulgated by China, and the significance of this being the involvement of China with Brazil. We have to think of this in terms of the Monroe Doctrine that goes back to 1823, when James Monroe issued a promulgation that said to Europe that the Western Hemisphere, the American continents, were closed to colonialization by anybody, that there was a limitation that any threat to one of these countries in this hemisphere was considered a threat to the United States. Trump has drawn a line in the sand, not only to Venezuela, but also to Brazil. He's also made it clear to China, evidenced also by his actions in Panama, Chile, and Colombia, that the president has made it clear to China, hands off. Now, how effectively that will be with China remains uncertain at this point, but China has definitely cooled off their activities in the Western Hemisphere, particularly in South America. So when you look at the drilling down into this and you think about it simply from a standpoint of blowing up a drug boat, I think it's also a message to China. It's also a message to Venezuela from the standpoint of Trump is alert, he's awake, he's aware. And he's not going to allow the United States to be trampled on. And I think that's the best way, and from my perspective as a student of history and the geography, that you can see the footprints of these types of actions over several hundreds of years, where these patterns blow up again and again and usually resolve in much the same way.
Yeah. Curtis Greco with the Imperfect Messenger Foundation is with us. You mentioned Russia and the Ukraine war there, it has not cooled off. In fact, Russia recently launched one of, if not its largest, drone attack on Ukraine and actually reached the capital. This is one area where the president hasn't seemed to make any real difference, at least a positive one, toward ending this war. What else does he have left in his toolbox here?
Well, you know, the president has clearly been disappointed in Putin, who he believed he had an element of integrity that he could take advantage of, that Putin would participate at some sort of level of conscientiousness. But Putin is not that way. Putin's interest is not about whether or not he can appeal to Trump's kindness. Putin has a much bigger plan. Putin has seen the West, particularly the United States, take advantage of, as he sees it, take advantage of Russia. And Putin's looking for ways to expose the United States' involvement in these events, but also to try to find a way to use his relationship with China to lessen the U.S.'s economic influence. The things that the U.S. can do with trade, tariffs, with, you know, all sorts of economic tactics that it uses to curtail or to try to shut Putin down, and Putin sees this as an opportunity. Again, I think that the way to look at this is not whether or not Putin sees Ukraine as a way or as a burden. I think it's becoming more and more clear to the president that Putin sees this battle in Ukraine as an opportunity. And the only way you deal with a bully, the only way you deal with a person that's behaving much like Hitler did, much like Mussolini did, and much like now Putin is it's you have to meet it with blunt force trauma. The question really will be is whether or not the president will be willing to actively engage in the elimination of the Russian presence in the Donbass regions, the eastern regions of Ukraine. Whether or not he will actually take an active role or he will do it in a sort of satellite approach, I think is more likely than actually putting U.S. boots on the ground. But that's going to be, if the president has an ambition to force Putin into a resolution, it's going to have to be at a point of a gun or at an economic level where Putin has no choice. And I mean personal economic leverage to Putin and his fellow oligarchs. That's the only way this is going to come to a conclusion.
Yeah, it's seemingly going to be going on forever to a bad ending. What's your prognosis here, Curtis? You laid out some ways to bring it to a satisfactory conclusion, or at least somewhat, but what's your, I guess, a prediction?
Is that, you know, Putin can allow this process to labor on indefinitely. I don't agree with some of the other pundits who say that Putin's running out of tanks, Putin's running out of ammunition, Putin's running out of this, Putin's running out of that. The fact of the matter is you don't need a massive land war to continue this battle in Ukraine. You can see the effect that drones are having. A very inexpensive drone that are being manufactured in China and with the assistance of the North Koreans. This type of a tactical approach in this new era of electronic warfare is much more difficult to contain. And I can tell you that even U.S. Military planners are having to completely rethink how they defend and how they practice or how they prosecute a war because of the effectiveness of these minor, minimal dollar cost material, these drones and things that they're able to do and create dramatic effect. Where does it go? I still say the same thing, that I think that ultimately where this is going to go is to force a resolution. It's going to occur one of two ways. It's either going to occur by Putin coming to a point where the economic effect of continuing to prosecute the war is unsalvageable. In other words, the very body politic of Russia, his oligarchs come to him and say, enough. Or Russia is chased out of Ukraine by an overwhelming force. One or the other, it's going to happen.
All right, Curtis, let's move on to the so-called war on Chicago, as Trump put in a social media post that people kind of blew out of proportion. But they are going to step up ICE activity in and around Chicago, much like they did L.A. The Supreme Court recently put a stamp of approval on what had happened in L.A. in that regard. Will this be fruitful in Chicago, or is this a publicity stunt? What do you see happening here?
Well, the president is definitely taking advantage of the public's interest in seeing crime brought to an end. I mean, if you go or travel in Chicago at all and see some of the local news reports, none of it seems to be making nationwide, maybe a little bit on some of the more conservative Fox-type news sites, but it's amazing to me the amount of public response that favors the Trump agenda for these cities, to bring the military in and use them as a force multiplier for existing police forces. How you can justify as a whether in Pritzker's case or in Brandon Johnson's case, the mayor, to allow this sort of narrative to continue is beyond the pale of reason. Where you have problems, where these guys have problems, they've promulgated this left-wing Marxist agenda that they're the friends of the indigent population, the illegal, et cetera, at the expense of their own citizenry, is such a trap for them that for them to favor or come to Jesus, for the lack of a better phrase, and welcome the feds into their cities is to openly admit that their practices have failed. And where it would be in their best political interest to actually do that, they simply don't have the character, they don't have the capacity to understand the importance of solving a serious problem, nor they lack the capacity or the know-how to do it. Where's this go? It's going to be the same as it was in L.A., the same, not as simple as it was in D.C., because obviously the federal position is in a much different place than it is in D.C., but the fact is there's a thing called the Supremacy Clause. And there is a, the federal government does have assets in these cities, property, facilities that if they are threatened, Trump could use, as he did in Los Angeles, as the initial primer that got National Guard there was initially as a force multiplier to defend the ICE locations. So that's a possibility, and I think the most likely way that you'll start seeing him move into these cities, particularly when they are going to be obstinate and actually fight in the social sphere against doing the right thing, which is to focus on reducing and eliminating crime and prosecuting criminals.
That's Curtis Greco with the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Curtis, always great to get your analysis.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.